Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive. Today we're taking a look at Nowruz, which is, well, a really significant celebration within Kurdish culture.
It really is.
Our goal here is to sort of unpack what makes Nowruz so vital. We'll be looking at its history, the traditions, and, you know, what it means for Kurdish people everywhere based on the research materials we've gathered.
Exactly. Nowruz, or Nowruz in Kurdish, literally means new day. And it really is the most important festival for Kurds. It marks spring, the new year, usually around March 20th or 21st. And the history here is just, it's incredibly deep.
Right. I was struck by that, too. The sources say it goes back over 2,500 years, linking it to ancient Zoroastrianism and other Indo-Iranian traditions. That's quite a legacy.
It absolutely is. If you go back over 3,000 years, Nowruz was a sacred event in Zoroastrianism. Fire was key. It symbolized divine light, goodness, pushing back against evil. And you see that echo directly in the bonfires that are so central to Kurdish Nowruz today.
Interesting. And wasn't it the Achaemenid Empire that made it a major state event that really highlights those themes of nature's renewal and good versus evil being important for a very long time?
Precisely. And it's not just Zoroastrianism. The Yazidi faith also reveres fire, so that likely feeds into the Nowruz fire traditions, too. It's like a confluence of ancient beliefs.
Okay, so it shares roots with, say, Persian culture. But the Kurdish Nowruz has its own specific stories, right? Especially the legend of Kawa the blacksmith.
That's the crucial distinction. Where the general themes bring good overcoming evil are there, for Kurds, Nowruz is powerfully tied to their specific history, you know, their experiences with oppression and the ongoing struggle for freedom.
So how does Kawa fit into that? Tell us about that legend.
Well, the story goes there was this awful tyrannical king, Zahak, sometimes Zuhak, an Assyrian king, the legend says. His rule was so bad it actually stopped spring from coming to Kurdistan.
And he had serpents growing from his shoulders. That's a pretty intense image.
It is. And these serpents apparently needed to be fed daily with the brains of young men. Just horrific.
It really paints Zahak as this unnatural force, completely disrupting the normal cycle of life. Sets the stage for a hero, I suppose.
Exactly. So the story says a compassionate cook, some versions say it was Kawa himself, started substituting sheep brains to save some of the young men. These saved youths then escaped into the mountains, and they're considered, you know, the ancestors of the Kurds in this telling.
That's a powerful idea. Resistance starting from within, saving the future generation.
Right. And then there's Kawa, a blacksmith. He'd already lost sons to Zahak when his last child was about to be taken. That was the breaking point. He rallied those hidden in the mountains, attacked Zahak's castle, and killed the tyrant with his blacksmith's hammer.
A blacksmith, a working man leading the revolt. That's incredibly symbolic, isn't it? The power of the people against tyranny.
Absolutely. And to signal the victory, Kawa lit huge bonfires on the hillsides. The very next day, March 20th, it said, spring returned.
Ah, the bonfires. So that's the direct origin of the Nowruz fires tradition.
That's the legendary link, yes. Some stories even mention him waving his leather blacksmith's apron as a sort of makeshift banner.
Wow. The hammer, the apron, the bonfires, all potent symbols that carry through to today.
And this isn't just oral folklore. You find the Kawa story in serious historical texts. Dinawari's General History, Masudi's Meadows of Gold, Ferdowsi's Shahnameh. Though there, Kawa gets help from Prince Feridun and Sheriff Exen Bedlisi's Sharafnameh.
So it's well documented across centuries. That really underlines its cultural weight.
Definitely. Its presence in these major works shows its importance not just for Kurds, but in the wider region's history and literature.
So regardless of the minor details that might change in the telling, Kawa embodies liberation, strength, resilience, Kurdish identity itself, really.
Precisely. He's this constant reminder that unity and courage can overcome oppression.
And that's why it resonates politically today. It's more than just an ancient story.
Exactly. Yeah. It functions as this powerful political allegory. People draw parallels between Zahak and, well, any forces seen as oppressing Kurds, historically or currently. Often, Zahak is interpreted as a foreign power.
So lighting the bonfires isn't just celebrating spring. It's like echoing Kawa's signal, a demonstration of support for the Kurdish cause.
That's how it's often perceived, yes. A very visual demonstration of solidarity and defiance.
And I read that Kawa refused to become king afterwards.
In most versions, yes. He defeats the tyrant, but doesn't take power himself. It emphasizes that the liberation was for everyone, not for personal gain, which adds another layer of meaning.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosch, Hannah.
Oh, perfect timing. Roj Bosch.
Mmm, this chai smells fantastic today. Really fragrant. Oh, wow. She's added a little bit of cardamom, I think. It's not too sweet either. Just perfect. This is exactly what we needed. Let's take a quick pause to enjoy this.
Roj Bosch, Hannah. This chai is indeed a welcome treat. The hint of cardamom is a lovely touch, and the balance of sweetness is just right. A perfect pause in our discussion.
Okay, that chai really hit the spot. Right, so we were discussing the profound significance of Nowruz, the Kawa legend. Let's dig into the actual traditions and rituals now. Fire is obviously huge.
Undeniably. Lighting fires, especially on Nowruz Eve, is probably the most iconic tradition. And these fires are just packed with meaning.
Right. There's the defiance, like Kawa's signal fires, liberation from Zahak, but also renewal, right? End of winter, start of spring.
Exactly. And purification, too. Connecting back to those ancient Zoroastrian roots, fire pushing back darkness, it represents hope, resilience against hardship.
And it's a communal thing, too. People lighting them together on hills, mountains, rooftops, and town squares. It brings everyone together.
Very much so. And then there's the jumping over the flames. That's symbolic, too, isn't it?
Yeah. It represents leaving behind the bad stuff from the old year, negativity, sickness maybe, and entering the new year with strength and good luck.
I've heard about chants people sometimes say, like transferring the yellowness of sickness for the redness of health. It's very vivid.
It really is. That ritual, done out in public, turns that ancient purification idea into a really visible statement of cultural identity today, especially in places where that identity has been challenged.
Beyond the fire, Nowruz is just fundamentally about community, isn't it? Strengthening those social ties.
Definitely. Family gatherings are key. Reunions, visiting friends and relatives. It reinforces kinship.
And the picnics. Going out to the countryside to celebrate nature coming back to life. Apparently, the poet Ahmad Khani wrote about this back in the 17th century.
That shows that deep connection to the land, to the seasons, that's part of Nowruz, celebrating the earth's renewal.
There's also remembering ancestors, visiting graves, tidying them up. Especially, I read in Iranian Kurdistan on the last Friday of the year, people bring offerings like dates, halva.
That intergenerational connection feels really important, passing down memories, history. For people without a state, maybe these traditions are even more vital for maintaining that collective identity.
I think that's absolutely right. These shared practices, the fires, the food, remembering the past, they become the threads that hold the cultural fabric together, passing down values, that sense of Kurdishness generation to generation.
So how else is that Kurdish identity expressed during Nowruz? Traditional clothing seems really prominent.
Oh, absolutely. The Siliburg and Kurdi, the traditional Kurdish clothes, they're often incredibly colorful, vibrant, and it's much more than just clothing. It's a statement.
A symbol of identity, tradition, pride, history.
All of that. For women, you see the kawa, that long coat, often beautifully embroidered. The kras, the main dress, maybe silk or velvet, lots of sequins sometimes. Jili kurdi is the general term. And the claw, the headpieces, which vary quite a bit.
And for men.
The shal yushepik, those distinctive baggy trousers, worn with a shirt, maybe a jacket. The peshtwin, the wide belt around the waist. And a turban or claw, too, sometimes showing which region or tribe someone's from.
Do the colors have specific meanings for Nowruz?
Our sources don't detail specific Kurdish Nowruz color codes, but generally green links to nature, turquoise to heritage, gold or red to celebration. But honestly, for Kurds, just wearing the traditional dress at Nowruz is the powerful statement.
Right. It's an act of affirmation. I read that in Roshilat, East Kurdistan in Iran, wearing the jamana head wrap and khaki clothes can even be a political statement linked to Peshmerga fighters.
Indeed. And men's scarf colors can signify things too, like the red and white checks often worn by the Barzani tribe or Yazidis.
And the styles vary regionally too. Sulaimania versus Erbil, Kurmanji versus Sarani speakers.
Yeah, there are regional differences, though the Sarani style is apparently quite widely worn these days.
Okay, beyond clothes, music and dance are essential too, right? Those big circle dances look amazing for building unity.
They really are. Halpark, Dabke, traditional Kurdish dances, full of energy, everyone joining in. Sima is more the Sufi whirling thing, not specifically Nowruz folk dance, according to our sources, but dancing in general is huge.
And the instruments, daf, tambur, dahol, zurna. Sounds like a really powerful rhythmic sound.
It is. The daf frame drum, the tambur lute, the big dahol drum, the loud zurna oboe creates a really vibrant atmosphere. And they play modern Kurdish folk songs too, blending old and new.
poetry readings too, connecting back to poets like Malleus Ezeri, Ahmad Khani.
Yes, keeping that literary heritage alive. Oral traditions are so important. There used to be Nowruz Kwani and Iranian Kurdistan storytellers reciting from the Nowruznama, the Book of Nowruz. A bit like reciting the Shahnameh elsewhere.
But that's fading a bit now.
Sadly, yes, according to some sources. It highlights the need to actively preserve these things.
What about games? Hilke Shikini, the egg tapping. That sounds fun.
It is. Boiled eggs, often colored. You tap yours against someone else's. Sometimes the winner keeps the cracked eggs. Simple fun. And smash an old pottery for good luck.
It feels like all these things, the clothes, music, dance, stories, games, are ways of actively saying, this is who we are, this is our culture. A kind of cultural insistence, especially where assimilation has been a pressure.
That's a great way to put it. It's not passive. It's actively reclaiming and celebrating heritage. Nowruz becomes this really visible stage for asserting Kurdish identity.
Okay, let's talk food. Always important in celebrations. Special Nowruz foods seem to represent abundance, renewal.
And communal joy, absolutely. Preparing and sharing food is central. It brings people together, strengthens bonds.
Some dishes seem common across cultures celebrating Nowruz, like sabzi polo bamahi, herbed rice with fish.
Yes, very traditional. The green herbs for renewal, the fish for life, abundance, often eaten on Nowruz Eve.
And kuku sabzi, the herb omelet. Again, lots of green, symbolizing freshness, health, prosperity.
Right, ashreshte too, the noodle soup. The noodles represent life's journey, eaten for good fortune.
And samanu, that sweet wheat germ pudding, takes a long time to make, I gather.
It does. Symbolizes strength, patience, abundance, blessings. In Iranian Kurdistan, there's even a communal ceremony, samanu pazan, where women cook it together.
And sabse, the sprouted greens people grow before Nowruz, a direct symbol of rebirth and growth.
Yes, cultivated beforehand. A key part of the half-seen table in some contexts, but also a specific activity in Iranian Kurdistan.
What about distinctly Kurdish Nowruz foods? Reshta polo noodle rice sounds important in Iranian Kurdistan, eaten to take control of destiny.
It is significant there, yes. Often served with tasty things like fried onions, raisins, dates, maybe chicken or meatballs.
And klane, Kurdish bread with wild chives, sounds delicious.
Traditionally made by women there, yes. Along with nani saji, flatbread baked on a griddle, and doina, a local soup.
Dolmas stuffed vegetables seem popular too, especially for the Sizza Vidar outing.
Yes, and just boiling the first wild plants of spring is a cherished tradition too, celebrating nature's bounty.
Koresh sabzi, the herb stew, a special Nowruz dish in western Iran Kurdistan.
Represents blessings, prosperity, very fragrant. And there are lots of other local specialties in Iranian Kurdistan, things like shola jinye, shorwa, rhubarb stew, turnip stew, in Kermanshah, maybe Koresh akang, artichoke stew, or zib polo. Apple rice.
What about the half-seen table itself, the 7S items? Is that widespread in Kurdish Nowruz?
You know, one source suggested it might be a relatively later adoption in Kurdistan, maybe post-Safavid era.
Yeah.
So perhaps more influenced by broader Persian tradition rather than being originally Kurdish everywhere.
Interesting. But regardless, feasting and sharing food is clearly paramount. Hospitality, lots of dried fruits, nuts, ajil mashkal gosha for good luck sweets like baklava.
Absolutely. It embodies that spirit of generosity, community, hope for the new year. The food really carries a lot of symbolic weight and expresses that shared identity.
Okay, let's look at how Nowruz varies across Greater Kurdistan. The core elements fire, gatherings seem universal, but the local flavors must differ.
They definitely do, reflecting different histories, different political realities in Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Syria.
So Bashur, South Kurdistan in Iraq. Sounds like celebrations there are pretty big and open.
Very much so. Bonfires on Nowruz Eve are key. Big public gatherings in cities like Erbil, Sulaymaniyya, Dohuk, Halabja. People in traditional dress, music, dancing.
And Accra is the capital of Nowruz, with those amazing torch processions up the mountains.
It's spectacular. Thousands carrying torches. It even draws Kurds from the diaspora back home. You see Kurdish flags everywhere, here the Dahal and Zurna. Modern folk songs, too. Huge crowds, even when it falls during Ramadan. Shows how important it is.
Now, Rosh Ilat, East Kurdistan in Iran, bonfires there, too, on mountains and rooftops.
Yes, and lots of countryside picnics, dancing. That region seems particularly rich in specific folk rituals and games connected to Nowruz.
Like the pre-Nowruz cleaning, new clothes, women baking klaneh and nani saji, men gathering firewood, cultivating sabzeh, decorated with red ribbons.
All part of it. And visiting graves on the last Friday, coloring eggs with natural dyes, sometimes using fabrics for patterns.
Tarharshan Bisuri, the last Wednesday Eve festival, sounds wild. Jumping fires, banging spoons for treats, burning rue, breaking pots, dropping shawls.
It's packed with traditions. Faldush, eavesdropping for omens, pot omen rituals, throwing out old things, kuza shikani, breaking a pot with ash and salt.
And kids have rituals too. He lalami law for gifts, shalandazi for fortune telling via shawls.
Yes. And while Nowruz Kwani storytelling is fading, things like Kosavevi costume figures announcing spring are being revived. Hilki Shikini egg tapping is still popular. The Samana Pazan cooking ceremony.
Some villages like Cheshmedar start early, and Palangan is known for big fire celebrations.
That's what the sources indicate. And then there's Sistabadar, the 13th day outing. Out in nature, releasing the sabza, making wishes, games, eating dolma, throwing 13 pebbles for luck.
Okay, shifting to Bakur, North Kurdistan in Turkey. Bonfires and jumping over them seem to be the main things there, especially in the east and big cities.
Yes, but the context is crucial. Now, Ruzan Bakur is highly politicized because of decades of suppression. It was banned until 1992.
Right, and the state tried to rebrand it as Nevruz with Central Asian roots, trying to disconnect it from Kurdish identity.
Exactly. Part of a wider pattern of suppressing Kurdish culture since the 1920s. Language, clothes, Nowruz itself. The PKK also used Nowruz for publicity, which led to more state crackdowns, arrests.
But millions still celebrate, especially in places like Diyarbakir Bakir, using it to assert identity, resilience, with slogans like, time for victory.
Absolutely. It became a major focal point for expressing Kurdish identity and resistance against that suppression. A very powerful public statement.
And Rojava, West Kurdistan, and Syria, celebrations were severely restricted under Assad.
For a long time, yes. Often celebrated secretly. Public gatherings could be met with violence. There were tragic deaths reported in 2008, 2010, just for trying to celebrate Nowruz.
But things changed after 2011 with the autonomous administration, AINEs. More freedom now.
Much more freedom, yes.
Yeah.
Nowruz became openly and vibrantly celebrated. March 21st, 2015, coinciding with Kobani's liberation, was especially significant, a symbol of hope.
So now in Rojava, it's vibrant, communal. Bonfires, music, dance, Kurdish symbols and flags are prominent, fostering unity.
Exactly. It's a powerful expression of cultural revival and political aspiration there now.
It's really striking how the celebrations in each region mirror the political climate, the level of freedom or oppression.
It really does. In Rojalat, you see the persistence of folk traditions despite restrictions. In Bakur, it became this potent symbol of resistance. In Rojava, the shift from secret to open celebration reflects the changing political landscape.
So Nowruz really has become more than just a spring festival for Kurds. It's this profound emblem of identity, resilience, the struggle itself.
Absolutely. It's an annual declaration of existence, as some put it, a reaffirmation of heritage, a reminder of sacrifices made for rights and freedom. Participating is a way of connecting to that larger cause.
And the suppression actually, paradoxically, strengthened its significance.
It seems so. In Turkey, the ban led to a more politicized revival, a symbol of cultural rebirth. Even attempts to co-opt it as Nevruz didn't erase its Kurdish meaning.
In Iran, it's recognized nationally, but there are still restrictions on Kurdish cultural expressions. Mixed dancing, symbols, suspicion from the state.
That's the situation described. Viewing independent celebrations as potentially political. Those reported arrests in 2025 for wearing traditional clothes are a stark example of ongoing tensions.
And in Syria, the history under the Ba'athists shows the real dangers faced just for celebrating culture.
But that spirit of Nowruz proved incredibly resilient. Its political association really grew from the 1950s. That 1970 celebration in Silvan, Turkey, was a turning point.
And Maslam Dogan's self-immolation in 1982, that tragically cemented the link between Nowruz and the Kurdish struggle.
Yes. So through all that hardship, Nowruz became this enduring symbol, renewal, liberation, justice over tyranny, the undying flame of the Kurdish spirit. State suppression, in a way, just fueled its power as a symbol of defiance and identity.
And what about today? How is it celebrated by the diaspora? They seem very active.
They are. Kurdish communities everywhere, Europe, North America, Australia, organize festivals, cultural events. It's vital for preserving culture, passing it to new generations, building community solidarity far from home.
Groups like the Kurdish Cultural Center of Illinois calling it cultural preservation and an act of resistance, focusing on dress, flags, music, fires, picnics.
And that's especially important because, as we've discussed, celebrations aren't always completely free back in the homeland for everyone. the diaspora plays a crucial role in keeping the flame alive, so to speak.
Modern technology must play a big part now, too. Satellite TV, the internet.
Huge. Kurdish channels like New Rose TV broadcast festivities globally, fostering a sense of shared identity. Social media is used for organizing, sharing pride, especially where physical gatherings are hard. That Nowruzi Kaposhi movement sharing Nowruz prep online is a great example.
So Nowruz continues to be this multi-layered symbol, hope, renewal, unity, peace, prosperity, a time to reflect on heritage and the ongoing struggle.
Definitely. And in places like Syria, recent celebrations carry those extra layers of hope for the future, for Kurdish rights after periods of conflict.
But challenges remain. Political instability, economic problems making celebrations harder, ethnic tensions sometimes.
Yes, those are real factors. Economic hardship, like sanctions impacting Iran, can affect how people celebrate. And sadly, tensions with other groups or anti-Kurdish rhetoric trying to deny the Nowruz connection still occur.
Yet there are strong efforts to preserve it. Diaspora groups, academic work like at the University of Duhok documenting traditions, the cultural revival in Rojava.
All contributing to keeping Nowruz vibrant. And in this digital age, it's become truly transnational. The diaspora uses online tools for preservation, reinterpretation, mobilization, pushing back against narratives that try to erase the Kurdish link. It fosters a global Kurdish consciousness around Nowruz. Tradition isn't just local anymore.
So Nowruz is the new day. It really is a cornerstone of Kurdish heritage, so deeply tied to their history, culture, political hopes, identity.
It's far more than just a date on the calendar. It's this powerful annual reaffirmation of Kurdish identity, packed with meaning built up over thousands of years.
And the traditions themselves show incredible resilience, adapting from ancient spring rites and the Kawa legend into this potent modern symbol of freedom and resistance.
Celebrated across Kurdistan, across the world by the diaspora, using every tool available, Nowruz really does unite Kurds, carrying those hopes for peace, recognition, a better future.
So that greeting, Nowruz Piroz Bey, Happy Nowruz. It really captures all of that, doesn't it? That enduring optimism, that deep cultural pride, it resonates everywhere, promising renewal and strength.